We return to God's Word this afternoon, Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1 through 12, verse 8. Page 1047, page 1047 in your pew Bibles. Ecclesiastes 11, verse 1. Cast your bread upon the waters, for after many days you will find it again. Give portions to seven, yes, to eight, for you do not know what disaster may come upon the land. If clouds are full of water, they pour rain upon the earth. Whether a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where it falls, there will it lie. Whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. As you do not know the path of the wind or how the body is formed in a mother's womb, so you cannot understand the work of God, the maker of all things. Sow your seed in the morning, and at evening let not your hands be idle, for you do not know which will succeed, whether this or that, or whether both will do equally well. Light is sweet, and it pleases the eyes to see the sun. However many years a man may live, let him enjoy them all. But let him remember the days of darkness, for they will be many. Everything to come is meaningless. And then our text, a word to the youth, 11 verse 9 through 12 verse 8. Be happy, young man, while you are young. And let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart and whatever your eyes see. But know that for all these things, God will bring you to judgment. So then banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. Before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after the rain. When the keepers of the house tremble and the strong men stoop. When the grinders cease because they are few and those looking through the windows grow dim. When the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades. When men rise up at the sound of birds, but all their songs grow faint. When men are afraid of heights and of the dangers in the streets. When the almond tree blossoms and the grasshopper drags himself along and desires no longer stirred. Then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. Remember him before the silver cord is severed or the golden bowl is broken, before the pitcher is shattered at the spring or the wheel broken at the well and the dust returns to the ground it came from and the spirit returns to God who gave it. Meaningless? Meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. Or vanity, vanity, says the teacher, everything is vanity. May God add his blessing to the reading and the hearing of his word this afternoon. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, Solomon is coaching us to do something for God. Not to be afraid and step out and serve him, even though life is vain and you don't know what's going to come of your investment. The future is uncertain. You can't guarantee your plans will succeed. God might change them halfway through. Governments can change and mess up your schedule. Money and markets can fluctuate. You don't know what the job market will be like when you graduate with your PhD. The person who comes after you might just totally tear down everything you accomplished. Sickness, aging, and death will certainly come upon you and put you in the grave. And the temptation is to be paralyzed by the vanity of life in a sin-cursed world. What's the sense? It's going to come to nothing. And Solomon is saying, trust in God, who in his Son, Jesus Christ, has swallowed up vanity in his own death and resurrection. He's conquered it, and you may trust him to do something with what you do. You will not step out in vain. Cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days it will return to you. Don't be afraid of failure. Go out and serve the Lord. Invest your life
in an education. Invest your life in a career. Don't be afraid to invest yourself in a business venture. Don't be afraid to invest your life in missions as a missionary. Cast your bread upon the waters, and after many days it will return to you. Trust in your God. He's going to make something out of what you do for Him, because in Christ your labor is not in vain. That's the calling of chapters 11 and 12. And now, his last sermon in Ecclesiastes before his conclusion in 12 verses 9 through 14. His last sermon is to the youth, the younger ones. Because he knows that a life lived for the Lord starts in your youth. He knows that's where he messed up. We believe Solomon wrote Ecclesiastes, as Bryce mentioned this morning, later on in his life, as he reflects on the mess up of a heart turned away from the Lord and all the missed opportunities, wasted gifts, talents, wisdom, time, wasted office. And he says, don't do what I did. You're young only once. So give your life to the Lord from the get-go, from the start. You're young only once. We want to see three things. So remember to enjoy your youth. Make the most of it. That's chapter 11, verses 9 through 10. Remember your Creator, secondly. You're young only once. So remember your Creator. 12 verses 1 through 7. And remember vanity. 12 verse 8. You're young only once. So remember to enjoy your youth. Enjoy the short life that God has given to you to live for Him here on earth under the sun. Be happy, young man, verse 9. While you're young. And let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Don't start late being joyful and being happy. There's so many depressed, anxious youth then and now. Because youth is a time of life when you're making choices and you're trying to look ahead and you're asking, is this worth it? Is that worth it? And the temptation is to be paralyzed into doing nothing but mick jobs. Of course, if that's all that God grants, praise the Lord. But youth tend then to be without a vision for the future, without dreams, without high goals for serving the Lord. No, be happy, young man, while you're young. Let your heart give you joy in the days of your youth. Follow the ways of your heart. And whatever your eyes see, go for it, is what he's saying. Go for it. There's a special energy to youth. A special creativity and flexibility to youth. A special freedom and opportunity to youth. A special fearlessness in youth. A special willingness to learn and to grow and to change. Don't waste that special time. Rejoice in it. Serve your God now with all your heart before too much time passes by. Now, when he says here, be happy, the word is rejoice, young man. Let your heart give you joy. Solomon's not talking about what many mean today, go hard after cheap thrills. Jump into the deep end of the pool of sin. That's not what he's saying. That word rejoice here, or be happy, let your heart give you joy, is the verb used most often when it came to the Old Testament feasts and coming to the temple and rejoicing before the Lord. Giving yourself to the Lord in thanksgiving. That's what that means. Young man, while you're young, throw yourself into the service of the Lord with thanksgiving. Heart, soul, mind, and strength, give your all to Him, whatever way He calls you to serve Him. Whatever opportunity, talents, gifts, energy He gives you to serve Him. It's not the enjoyment of cheap thrills, but of deep satisfaction. To have fun exploring and using all the gifts that God has given you to enjoy for His glory and according to His commandments. You see, more than anybody else in all the world, the Christian believer ought to lead the world
in enjoying life. More than anybody else, the Christian believer ought to lead the world in enjoying life and in the experience of true happiness. We ought to be able to enjoy art and a sunset and a trip to the orchestra and a play, enjoy work and gardening, enjoy marriage, a good novel, enjoy walking, running a marathon, harvesting wheat, changing diapers, making supper, more than anybody else. Ought to be able to enjoy relaxation and a good cup of coffee better than anybody else, because Jesus Christ has rescued us from being blinded by the darkness of vanity. He's opened our eyes to see the glory of God, so that, as Paul says, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it to the glory of God. Suddenly the presence of God has become opened to us through faith in Jesus Christ in everything. So it's C.S. Lewis, in his book, Surprised by Joy, describes his conversion. He was not at all into happy, clappy, cheap thrills. That's not C.S. Lewis. But he said, when I came to faith in Jesus Christ, and all my sins were removed from me, and I was brought into true fellowship with God, for the first time I really began to enjoy and experience life as God meant it to be. Oh, I know this world is vanity still. Even though we have faith, we still feel its pain and brokenness. And there's still much to hate. We read that in Ecclesiastes 2. There's still much to hate in this sin-cursed world. But by faith, we see a higher, a new dimension. God's presence. Victory over vanity through our Lord Jesus Christ. God's at the center of it all. And when we enjoy His gifts, we enjoy God. And more than that, He takes great pleasure in our enjoyment of His gifts. Remember Eric Liddell, Chariots of Fire. When people scorned Him for wanting to run, God made me fast. When I run, I feel His pleasure. That's a God-entranced view of life. Follow your heart. Whatever your eyes see, follow that. Set your sights on serving the Lord. Go for it. Just remember that as a person who knows God, you know He's your judge. He's your Savior and your judge. And for all that you'll do, you'll stand before Him and have to give an account. So be responsible. Again, don't dive into the deep end of the pool of sin. That's not what this is a call to. You know that as a believer in Jesus, you can stand before your judge and make her unafraid. Your sins are gone. And He's going to call on you to show that you love the Lord by the life you lived. So be ready to stand before Him. And banish anxiety from your heart and cast off the troubles of your body, for youth and vigor are meaningless. Don't let yourself get stuck in frustration. Get lost in despair and emptiness and say, I quit, I give up. There's no sense. But know that when I enjoy God, I enjoy life. And then God enjoys me. Imagine your parents buy you a remote-controlled monster truck. They give you a gift. Imagine that you just keep it in the box and you look at it once in a while but pay no attention to it otherwise. Will that give your parents pleasure? Not at all. But if you take that out and you jump big ramps with that thing and you enjoy it, that will give your parents much pleasure. Well, that's the way it is with life, the life God your Creator give you. If you make the most of that when you're young, starting when you're young, and all through life, as much energy as He gives us and ability, well, God takes great pleasure in our enjoyment of the gifts that He gave us, the life, the time, the energy that He gave us. Jesus came for this very reason, that we might have life and have it to the full. He came to make life deep and satisfying. So don't waste your life ignoring God and living for yourself. Many people believe that the best way to have a happy life is to ignore God. Well, if you think that ignoring God and living the life of the hangover and exploiting women and using drugs and tyrannizing other people with a desire to have everything serve you,
and being miserable? If you think that's happiness, well, eat your heart out. But it's a lie. It's not real.
It's in serving the Lord. And we see that secondly. You're only young once, so remember to enjoy the life, the youth, the strength, the gifts, the energy God gives you from the start. Before you have to say, oh, I already messed up 10 years. Oh, God will forgive that. If that's where you're at, start now. Don't waste the next 10 years. But the sooner you start, the better. The happier, the fuller. Remember your Creator. Remember your Creator. You're young only once, so remember your Creator. It's what he goes on to say in chapter 12. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth, before the days of trouble come. And really, the rest just explains that. But remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Before the days of trouble come and the years approach when you will say, I find no pleasure in them. That's how you enjoy your youth. This is how we make the most of our lives. By remembering our Creator. And to remember here does not mean to memorize, but to commit to Him. Keep Him at the center. Keep Him at the center of your heart and life at all times. It means to submit all your plans to Him. To praise Him for all His blessings. Pray to Him through all your troubles. Depend on Him for all your strength and success. It means to walk with God daily in a life of blessed communion. That's what it is to remember your Creator. Someone has said hell is remembering your Creator too late. Hell is remembering your Creator too late. Don't wait till it's too late. Remember your Creator in the days of your youth. Remember Him who made you. Remember Him who gave you your life, your gifts and talents, your strength. Remember Him when you're young, so you can get the most out of your vain, fleeting life, which is headed for the grave. Remember Him when you're young, so you can squeeze the most pleasure out of the life and gifts God gave you. Again, the world says you get more out of life when you ignore God. But the truth is, when you ignore God, life is not full and deep and happy in any way. It's flat, it's one-dimensional, it's superficial, it's miserable, and it's damaging to yourself and others. And it's profane in the sight of God. But you get most out of life when you remember God and you give each day to Him and you even eat and drink to the glory of God. Remember Colossians 3:17, whatever you do in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Giving thanks to God the Father through Him. Do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus. Do everything giving thanks to God the Father. Whatever you do, whether it's speaking or doing. The world says youth is for pleasure. Middle age is for business, and old age is for religion. I'm sure you've seen that. We can get serious about God when we retire. Oh, wait, no, at retirement, now it's time to enjoy ourselves. So we'll get serious about God on our deathbed. Youth is for pleasure, middle age is for business, old age is for religion, says the world. That's a recipe for hell. That's a recipe for disaster. That's the way to live an empty and meaningless life, full of sound and fury, signifying nothing. The Bible says youth is for Christ. Middle age is for Christ. Old age is for Christ. Because that's why your Creator sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. Because of sin, our relationship with Him was broken. He sent us out of His sight, out of His presence. Because we spit on Him. We gave Him the finger. We rejected Him. We said, we don't want you. You're no good. We want Satan. But He so loved us. The Creator sent His Son to break through to us, to enter our curse, our death and hell, so that we could break through to God again in the name of Jesus. Remember your Creator. Live all the way for God when you're young. Because that's when you have the most to offer Him. That's when you have the most to give Him. That's when you have the most to learn from Him. The most need for His protection, because youth is also a time of life's highest pressure, life's strongest temptation and life's deepest danger. It's the time of life's highest pressures, strongest temptations, and deepest dangers. Remember your Creator and don't wait till you're old. Don't wait till you're old and there's little left of your life and energy and talent and opportunity. It's a great blessing when at the 11th hour, God saves you from your sins, rescues you from a lifetime of profanity and God-rejecting wickedness. And at the 11th hour, like the thief on the cross, He brings you to repentance and to confess your sins and pray for salvation, and He brings you. But you know what? It's even far greater blessing to start that when you're 5 or 10 or 15. And that's the advantage of growing up in the covenant. Like Solomon addressing the youth of the covenant community, you're in a place where God has a claim on you, where He knows you by covenant, and you know Him by covenant through His word. Oh, take advantage of that. Don't throw that away. Don't wait till you're old and there's little left of your life and energy. Remember Him before. Let's go through that list. Before, verse 2, we've gone through this before a couple years ago. It's a marvelous list of aging using the picture of a house that's breaking down. Remember Him before the sun and the light and the moon and the stars grow dark and the clouds return after rain. That means before everything fades from your view and the clouds return after rain. Okay, so you've got high blood pressure. You get that taken care of. The clouds are gone. Oh, here comes another storm. And now we've got a heart murmur. Oh, got that taken care of. Oh, now I have gout. Yeah. Oh, and that's over. And oh, now I've got a problem with my aortic valve and so on. And the treadmill of doctor's visits just doesn't stop. Remember Him before that. Verse 3. When the keepers of the house tremble, those are the arms that protect you, that keep your house. When they start to shake and tremble and you don't have so much control anymore. And the strong men stoop, your back gets bent. And when the grinders cease, and because there are few, you hardly have any teeth left, days before false teeth. And those looking through the windows grow dim. Your eyes looking through the window can't see much anymore. You're losing your eyesight. Verse 6, when the doors to the street are closed and the sound of grinding fades, your hearing goes. And it's like all the doors are shut and you can't hear what's going on around you anymore. And the loud sound of those grinding stones, you can hardly hear that sound anymore. When men rise up at the sound of birds, you used to be able to sleep solidly through a night. Now you sleep lightly and you wake up at anything. But all their songs grow faint. Your voice becomes raspy. You lose the strength of your vocal cords. Verse 5, when men are afraid of heights and of dangers in the streets, don't, says your son, don't you dare climb that ladder. No more stools in the kitchen for you, Mom. You can't handle ladders anymore. When the almond tree blossoms, that's when the hair gets white. And I tell you, if you're coloring it, it's still white. You know that. And the grasshopper drags himself along and desires no longer stirred. You're dragging yourself like a grasshopper that's old and is not hopping anymore. Then man goes to his eternal home and mourners go about the streets. You see, today we're young and strong, but tomorrow the mourners will carry our bodies down the street for burial. There you go, in the hearse. Remember Him. Verse 6 is now about, if 2 through 5 are about aging, verse 6 is about death. Before the silver cord is severed, snap. The golden bowl is broken, crash. Can hold no water anymore. Life is over. The pitcher shattered at the spring. The wheel broken at the well. These are pictures of something being broken so it can't work anymore. It can't hold anything more. Remember your Creator, brothers and sisters.
Not when this happens. Notice how often the word before is used. Before this happens. Don't say, I'll have time to get serious about God later. What a waste of life. Before this happens, remember your Creator now when there's still so much life to live and still so much life to give unto your God. Isn't that why Jesus saved us? So that we would no longer live for ourselves, 2 Corinthians 5, but for Him who died and rose for us. Therefore, in view of the mercies of God, offer your life, your body as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your reasonable service or your spiritual worship. When you live for yourself, you live like a leech, taking from others to serve yourself. It's all about you. How empty and harmful and wasteful. Maybe that's where your life is at. You're full of yourself and full of your own opinions. And that's the center. And God is, somewhere out there. It's miserable. It's the life of the leech. Taking from others, taking God's gifts in order to pamper and serve yourself. It's the life of sin. Jesus saved us from that. To live for Him. When you come to Jesus and through Him live for God, then you give yourself to serve your God and others. And that's living. Happiness is to know the Savior. The old song from the 70s. That's living. And one more thing. Remember the vanity of life. It's interesting how after all this, rejoice when you're young. Remember your Creator when you're young. After all this, he says, oh, and by the way, everything's vanity. Did I say that before? Yeah, don't forget, kids. Everything's vanity. That's the way he started the book. Chapter 1, verse 2. Meaningless, meaningless, says the teacher. Everything is meaningless. But that's really Solomon's whole point. He says, the mistake I made when I was your age was that I didn't understand the vanity of life. So I looked for my life and happiness and fullness in life under the sun. I looked for it in research, chapter 1, in amusements, in sex, in wealth, in beautiful gardens, in projects, in hard work. And I came up with nothing because I forgot God. So I had to learn that life under the sun is vain. It's sin-cursed. It cannot give me life. Only God can give me my life. And so I must keep on being reminded that life here is fleeting. Whatever money I make, I can't take with me. The next guy is going to throw it away. And whatever buff I can bring to my body is going to become sagging fat. And whatever business I might build up, the government is likely going to turn the screws tighter. And life is a huge appetite that nothing on earth can satisfy. No amount of money, pleasure, sex, fitness, food, relationships, friendship, family, computer games, and on and on. I mentioned earlier, remember Wimbledon tennis champion Boris Becker achieved everything. He was athletic, he was powerful, he was very wealthy, he was famous. Yet when he wrote in his memoirs about what life was like at the top, he said, I have no inner peace. I've reached the top, I've reached the pinnacle, and there's nothing there, he said. Nothing. He repeated it. There's nothing there. Nothing. And how many stars and champions have discovered this truth? And many common people besides. There's nothing there. If there's not God, there's nothing. Under the sun, everything is vanity. It's fleeting. It's here today, gone tomorrow. It's meaningless. Solomon too tried it and didn't work. Who better than Solomon to illustrate the futility of life without God? He had everything that anybody could ever want, but the world is not enough. If the world cannot satisfy the richest and wisest king whoever lived, it will never satisfy anyone. And there's only one who can fill your life. It's Jesus Christ, God's Son,
conquered vanity and rose to eternal life, and if you trust in him, your life is going somewhere and nothing you do is in vain, because he's going to take it and use it for the coming of his kingdom. Only one life, you remember, will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. In Christ, you beat the emptiness, you beat the vanity, and the sooner you accept this truth for your life, the better. Amen. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Solomon's last sermon to the young. We pray that you will help us to take his counsel as somebody who's been there, done that, and saw what wisdom really is. And we pray that you will help us now, whatever age we're at, to give our lives to our Creator and Savior. We look forward to standing before you one day as forgiven sinners who, by Jesus' grace, gave our saved lives to you wholeheartedly. And so we pray that you will bring us to that place. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 409, rejoice.